You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everstwar Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Hello. Yes, it works. How's everybody doing? Let's try that one more time, a little bit louder. How's everybody doing? It's the first time I've ever spoken that I've had to lift anything up to reach my height. That's awesome. We're off to a good start. I'm very blessed and very honored to be up here today. It's just this is just a great day for me to have an opportunity to speak to y'all. I'm looking forward to this. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get rolling, all right? Father, thank you for today. Help these words be your words, and just for you to be in the center of all we do. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I've literally changed this talk about 7 times in the last month, so I don't know what you're going to get today, but it's God's word, and we're going to see where it goes, and we'll kind of go from there. So if you don't know me, I'm pretty passionate about stuff. I don't stand still very often, so I apologize for that. I got to keep moving. My knee hurts, and it even helps that to keep moving. So I'm pretty passionate about everything, so that's just what you're going to get. Hope that's okay with y'all, but we're going to have fun today a little bit, I hope. We're going to start out with the playoffs were yesterday, as Sean mentioned, the national championship game tonight. How many Clemson fans we got? One. Awesome. How many LSU fans we got? Bandwagoners, no question. No question. So within the spirit of the game tonight, we're going to watch a quick video that I asked them to put up. So watch this real quick. Yeah, so we'll come back to that in a little bit, but I thought that was interesting just to watch somebody going the wrong way. How many times do we get a break and then we end up not taking advantage of it, maybe going the wrong direction? And we'll come back to that in a little bit. A couple just kind of ground rules before I get started. I'm not perfect in any way. Don't claim to be. I don't have all the answers. So what I tell you today are things that I'm learning. I'm talking to myself in multiple ways as I go through these things besides you guys. So I don't want you guys to think that I'm, have it all together, because I don't. There's 3 sections to this talk today. They're going to be pretty quick. I'm a very transparent person for you guys that know me. So you're going to hear some stories. You're going to see some things, but again, I think that's probably the best way for you to understand where I'm coming from is to be transparent. So first thing we're going to talk about is my life process, how I got to this point a little bit, and that we'll talk about that real quick. And then I want to talk to you about what I've learned in the process. And then thirdly, how can I apply it? So I'm a big application guy. My athletes know that. So, I want to talk to you about some of this stuff, but it doesn't do any good if we can't apply it. So we'll end up with that. So starting out my life process. So I grew up here in Mishawaka and went to Mishawaka High School. So I was a caveman. Yes. And, it was interesting growing up here. Bethel was here. And didn't know much about it. And when I did know about it, I didn't really want to have much to do with it. So, I went to Mishawaka High School. I was really into basketball and tennis when I was in high school. If you watch the movie Hoosiers, if you know the movie Hoosiers, the coach that's part of that movie, that was based on my high school coach, actually, Marvin Wood. He was the coach at Milan High School during that time. Great, great man. He's probably the first person that really introduced me to Christ was him. And I really didn't listen too much, but he did all he could to talk to his players about Jesus. My parents were great. They were short, so I don't never forgive them for that. But anyway, I grew up literally a mile from here. But they were great. They went to church, and I went with them because I had to, but I never really made it my own. So I kind of just went along for the ride. So to speak. My first athletic experience, just so you can kind of get a grasp what a great athlete I am. So I worked real hard before my 5th grade year for basketball, and I thought, man, I'm ready for this season. And I started, and the tip went up. I was playing for Mary Phillips Elementary School, which is no longer a school. They probably shut it down after what I'm about to tell you here. But anyway, the tip went up, and I got the tip came to me, and with all my speed, I took off. Took about 4 dribbles and laid it in. Nobody was close to me, and I thought, man, I am a stud. I'm leading the nation scoring 2 points in the first 5 seconds. And then I realized I went the wrong way. And nobody was guarding me because I went to the wrong basket. So anyway, that was kind of a precursor of what to come athletically for me was. A little bit like that guy up there. So I would say we're going to talk a lot about identity today, and my athletes know I talk about identity a lot. I would say my identity at that point in my life up through high school, I was really searching for an identity. I just really didn't have any idea what was going on. I was just searching. So 1979, I went to Purdue University. How many Boilermaker fans do we have? Any Boiler fans out there? They won yesterday. Yes, they did. They actually won yesterday. Now, I can't say that very often, but they did win yesterday. So I went to Purdue, and I went to Purdue major in accounting. And I went to my first accounting class. And as I walked in, there's people in the class, a bunch of people, you know, big school, lots of people. The prof walked in. The very first thing she said, very, very first thing she said, look to your right, look to your left. Two of you three won't be here in accounting the second semester. And she was right. I was in marketing the second semester. So I was one of the two, of the three, yes. So that's kind of how accounting went the first semester for me. But I did get involved with the basketball program. Marvin Wood was a good friend of Gene Cady's, who was the basketball coach there at that time, and got me wrapped up in their basketball program as a student assistant. And I learned so much in that 4 years. I learned so much. Very thankful I had that opportunity. I see God's hand, how it really set me up for what was happening down the road, even though I had no clue that was what was happening. So I was really involved in the basketball program at that time. Well, my wife Andrea is here. Give her a hand, my wife Andrea. She's a saint for putting up with me, no question. I met her in college my junior year. Look at this picture. Now tell me, that's what I looked like when I first met her. How can you resist that? I mean, I'm sure it was love at first sight. You can take that down before anybody gets too scared. But yeah, I really did have a lot of hair back then. I really, really did. But yeah, you know, I met her my junior year, and we got married right out of college. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that. She makes me better every day, and I'm very thankful for her. It was interesting that, you know, where we were at that point of our lives, we were not Christians at that point. We weren't believers. We really didn't attend a church. We really didn't give that much of a thought. So I would say at that point in my life, my identity kind of got wrapped up in the things of the world, okay? Kind of the wrong direction a little bit. And you know, now we're talking 21 years old, right? 21, 22. And all I knew at that point in my life, I graduated with a degree in marketing, and really all I knew is I liked athletics. I mean, I really got into basketball. I really kind of became a student of the game. I'm 5'6" on a good day. So, you know, I thought, you know, I can't exactly pursue that very well. People told me I couldn't. So got married. I knew I needed to make a good living for my wife. So I did. I went out and got a job. I sold insurance for 2 years here in Mishawaka, and I absolutely hated it. Okay. The one thing I did like about it was it was very competitive. When I started working, every Monday, there were like 16 or 18 agents in this office. They'd put a list of those 18 agents on the whiteboard, and I was at the bottom. I was 18, not 18. And the only thing that was good for me was I was competitive, and I wanted to get up to number one. I was 21, 22 years old. Everybody else was old. So they were probably 30 then, but they, you know, it seemed to me like they were old. So I thought, I'm going to beat all these guys. So after about 3 months, I did. I got to the top of that whiteboard, and I thought, man, this is cool. This is really cool. Well, in the process, I kind of made a little bit of money. My wife liked that. That was good. And I thought, this is going to be my career for the rest of my life. I'm going to be in insurance. And then one day, I thought, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. My boss called me in, and he was like, you have a tremendous career in this if you stay in this. And I was like, yeah, I just can't stand coming to work every morning, though. So it's not like I prayed about it. It's not like, you know, we prayed about it. But, you know, at that point of our lives, I did what probably a lot of people do. I planned a vacation to West Virginia in the mountains. I got a really romantic cabin. We went away for the week. Went up to my wife and I said, hey, just so you know, I quit my job last week. And I want to coach basketball. And at that point, I thought, okay, here it comes. If she's ever going to leave me, it's going to be this weekend. And she looked at me and she said, okay, let's do it. And that just tells you what kind of person she is. Either extremely great or extremely not bright. But anyway, she really went with that and thought that was a good way to go. And that's what we did. So at that point, I would say in my life, my identity was in money. It really was, you know, and For you guys that know me now, that's probably hard to believe because I just don't care about money at all. I drive the same car I've driven for 20 years. It just doesn't bother me. I could care less. So, but that point in my life, I was all about money. So transition to the next stage. So now we're talking about 1986-ish. I wanted to go to grad school. I wanted to be a grad assistant on a Division I basketball team. Contacted people that I knew, and they were like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I was like, what do you mean? And they told me, they said, you have to be a Division I player. You're not gonna ever get in Division I coaching unless you're a Division I player. And I thought, well, I wasn't a Division I player. I've never been any kind of a player except for fifth grade when I scored at the wrong basket. So that's probably not going to help me too much. But if you guys know me, when I'm told I can't do something, that kind of gets me fired up. So my wife and I spent a long time sending out a lot of letters. I mean, I sent out, I can't even tell you how many letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters. The one thing I had going for me was I had great references from Purdue. You know, I had great coaches that really wrote me great references. So long story short, I got three positive letters back out of all these hundreds of letters. One was a college in Los Angeles. And at that time in my life, that didn't sound very good to me to move to Los Angeles to get a master's degree. One was from a school in Nebraska, and I learned a little bit about Nebraska that year. Nebraska has like 99% of its population on one half of the state, and this school was on the other half. And when I talked to them, they said, yeah, the closest mall's in Denver. So when I told my wife that, that was the end of that one. That one didn't work so good. And the third one I had was from Bowling Green State University, which was a Division I school. Wow, there's as many Bowling Green fans here as there's Clemson. That's awesome. So Bowling Green. And so we went, we interviewed. It was a Division I school in the MAC. Was offered a GA spot right on the spot. They got us an apartment that day. I was like, what is going on? And again, it wasn't like we prayed about it. It just, that's what happened. So this is kind of a key point right here as we move forward, okay? And I look back at this, I don't have a lot of regrets, but this is one I do have, is I didn't realize that the hand of God was working in my life. And I really wish I would have done that. And I challenge you guys, because I know in a group like this, because I've coached a lot of you guys, there's God's working in your lives like tremendously, and you probably don't even realize it or recognize it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you just got to go through life. But I'm telling you, He is. He is. And at this point in my life, it's incredible how God was working. So I went to Bowling Green for that year. I coached Division I basketball, which was crazy. I was in charge of a lot of areas. They just prepared me for what I was going to do down the road. And I would say at that point in my life, my identity was solely in basketball. I mean, I entrenched everything I had into basketball because I knew I was going to be a Division I coach at that point. That's all I thought about. That's all I wanted to do. So after grad school was done in 1988, I got an interview at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. So if you guys ever want to make money, this is a great answer to a trivia question. The first college in the country to ever go from the NCAA Division III to NCAA Division I was North Carolina, Greensboro. First college ever to do that. Well, when I went there to interview, there were Division III. And the guy who was the athletic director was also their head men's basketball coach. He was from Ohio, so he knew me from being from Ohio. And he offered me a job, and he said, I can't pay you very much, but you have an opportunity to be ground floor with me at Division III. When we move to Division I, you will be my top assistant at when we go to Division I in 2 years. I thought, wow, I got a chance to be a Division I assistant in North Carolina, which is like hotbed for college basketball. So I took it. I took the job. We came home. We looked at apartments, ready to go. And about a month before I left, I had a friend of mine who coached with me at Purdue who was a Mr. Basketball in the state of Indiana. His name was Billy Keller. A lot of people probably don't know that name, but he played for the Pacers for a long time. Great, great player, great guy. He didn't know I got this job. He called me. He was the head coach at University of Indianapolis and asked me to come with him there. I told him I had already had this job, and that's what I was going to do. Well, after about a couple days, again, we didn't pray about it, but we just talked about it, and I chickened out. I decided to go to University of Annapolis instead, and that's where I went for 1 year. After that year was done, Coach Keller basically got fired, and so did his whole staff. So for that whole year, I just kicked myself. Like, what did I just do? Well, I'm going to tell you how God works. So when University of North Carolina Greensboro made it to Division I, their president called in that basketball coach who was the AD and said, hey, I want to thank you for all the work to get to Division I, but we're going a different direction. I have a friend who's the head coach at SMU in Texas. He's going to come in and coach. And that coach called me and he said, hey, just so you know, he was a believer. And he called me and he said, just so you know, God's been working in your life, because if you would have come here with me, you'd be out of a job right now and you wouldn't have anything. And that woke me up a little bit. So I would say at that point in my life, my identity was to do whatever I could, and I expensed everything at the expense of my family, my faith, anything. I just wanted to be Division I coach. So now this is the turning point, okay? And this is where we're going to move quick. And this is the turning point. The summer of 1990. I want to read you a verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. So in 1990, I got my first full-time coaching job. I got a full-time coaching job at Marion University in our conference. I was the men's basketball assistant. I started the track program, and I was the head tennis coach. So I was busy. I was really busy. And you talk about that video we just saw, right? That was my break. That was my interception. But I did basically what that guy did. I didn't go the right direction. I kind of went the wrong way, and I just still didn't give God the credit for that. I thought it was all me. It was all about me. So at that point, I think God had it with me, and it was time to really give me a wake-up call. So if you know Indianapolis very well, there's a place downtown Indianapolis on I-65, the interstate. It's actually called the Spaghetti Bowl, if you know anything about it. It just does a total turn, and it keeps going south. Or north, depending on where you're going. I was coming home on a Friday, and right at that point where it turned, my right front tire blew out, and I went straight into the wall, about 70 miles an hour. And when I hit the wall, I came back and hit the other wall. I thought I was in the Indy 500 in the true sense of Indianapolis. So I hit one wall, hit the second wall, and then went back to the same wall, landed in kind of the area there by the berm. And knocked me out, which I know that's a God thing, because how my head reached the rearview mirror instead of the mirror, me being as short as I am, I have no idea, but it did. Next thing I knew, there was a lady at my window, knocking on my window. And she was crying, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? Because I didn't know what had happened. It knocked me out, and I didn't know what happened. And I realized on Friday at 5 o'clock in Indianapolis to cross all those lanes of traffic three times and not get hit by a car, that's not very likely to happen. Does that make sense to you guys? So that really, really woke me up. It was a hard lesson to learn. I realized I kind of wasn't invincible like I thought I was. And for the first time in my life, I realized, you know what, everything can change. It could all change right now in 1 second. So we were living in a house in Indianapolis, and by accident, right? By accident. Our Andrea's maid of honor, who was from Honduras, she had met earlier, happened to live in the same development we did and invited us to a church, Traders Point Christian Church in Indianapolis. And we went there for years, got into a great group. We accepted Christ there. We were baptized there. Our kids were baptized there. So, I mean, it was just a great place for us to start our walk with the Lord. And things just took off at that point. Things just took off. However, I want to warn you guys, because I was under the impression once I accepted Christ, man, it was going to be like a whole new world, right? Everything was going to go great. I was going to wake up on Monday morning after being baptized on Sunday, and I'd be 6'4". Nope, that didn't happen. So I thought, you know what? I feel all this peace. I feel great. I got my car to go to work. I have some anger issues. I'm Italian. This is what happens when you're Italian. So I drove to work, and I thought, man, this is a great day. Birds are singing. Sun's out. I'm driving to work. I get on the interstate, and some dude cuts me off, and I just blew up at him. Blew up. And after I blew up, I thought, gosh, did I really get baptized yesterday or what? And I realized, okay, this is going to be a process. This is not going to happen overnight. It's just not. So anyway, at that point, my identity started to change. My identity no longer became about me. It became about the Lord. And I really tried to live my life in a way that would honor him. So I've been here 21 years, amazingly blessed. I've been around a lot of great people, tremendous amount of great kids. But the most important thing I've done at Bethel is not the winning, not that kind of stuff, but it's been who I am. Can you play that lyric real quick? Listen to this lyric just real quick for me. All right, I wanted you to hear that. I was thought about singing it for you, but I wanted you to make sure you listen to these last two parts real quick. I want you to leave if I start singing. So, you know, if you read that and listen to that, I'm a child of God, okay? That's your identity. And I want to challenge y'all as we get into these last two sections and as we get ready to wrap up, that's where your identity comes from. There's a lot of talented people in this room, all right? A lot of talented people. But what you've been able to do is something God's allowed you to do. That does not define who you are. And we got to be careful of that, okay? Who you are is you're a child of God. I feel like I've done okay in that. I told you I was going to be transparent. The first part of that, no longer a slave to fear, I struggle with that. I struggle with that. My kids can tell you that, my biological kids, my kids I've coached here. I mean, I want so bad for you all to have such a great experience here. I struggle with that fear part of it. And I tell you that just to be transparent. So the second part of this, real quick, what have I learned? What have I learned while I've been here? Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. The biggest thing I've learned through all of this, and I hope you have heard loud and clear, is God has a plan. And even though I didn't give him the time of day through part of my life, he still had a plan for me. And I think that's crucial. That's crucial. There are people praying for me that I didn't realize were praying for me, just like some of you guys. And God had his hand on what was going on in my life at that point. I wish I would have realized that then before it was too late, but I didn't. But at least I realize it now. So he's working. Secondly, embrace who you are. When I started the track team, the way we started the track team was we were going to be loud and rambunctious and have a good time and support each other. And I had track coaches come up to me at that point and say, that's not the way track's done. And I was like, well, that's the way we're going to do it at Bethel. Sorry. And that's the way we've done it since we started 21 years ago. And we just have a good time. And we win by accident. So, you know, that's just who I am. And that I don't apologize for that. You got to embrace who you are. God made you a certain way. All right? The key, I already told you, identity, comes from being a child of God, not what you've done. Ask yourself this question when you leave today. Who am I? And if your answer is, I'm the center on the basketball team, or I'm the keeper on the goalie team, that's not the right answer. I'm a 4.0 student. That's not the right answer. The right answer is you're a child of God first. Those other things are things that you do. I hope you see that. This has led me, everything I've talked to you about has led me to the present. And I see how God's prepared me for this AD job. Culture has been huge to me. Our motto, for you athletes know this already, but it's to be a Christ-centered athletic department and student-focused. Christ-centered, student-focused, okay? That's what we want to be. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But that's what we want to, that's what we strive to be, all right? At this point, me being the athletic director, it's all about you guys. It's all about our students. I've told everybody as I interviewed and ever since day one, the reason I took this job is because I want to make Bethel University the best for our students that we could possibly make it in every single way. So it's all about you guys. That's what my goal is in life. The third section about this real quick, how can I apply it? This is the bottom line, and then we'll wrap up. But how can you apply it? Priorities. Everything's about priorities. This morning, if you had 8 o'clock class, you had a decision to make. What's your priority, sleep or go to class? That's your priority. You picked your priority, right? So everything's a priority. All right, be in the Word daily. I have. If you see the Bible I have, you would laugh, because literally the pages are falling apart. The front cover's ready to fall down. I mean, it looks terrible, but it's a through the year Bible I got probably 15 years ago, and I've used that because I know me. I get busy, I get wrapped up, and it helps me stay in the Word daily. It's helped me tremendously. John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Trust him. Make him Lord of your life. I challenge you to do that. The process of being a stronger Christian, I'm asked this all the time, what that process is, it's called life. Okay? But start that process today. You won't regret it. It says all who receive him and believe in him. Trust him. He's in control. That's a tough word for me, control. Because I am a total 100% control freak. All right? And that's really hard. There's things going on in my life right now that I have a really hard time giving control up to God for. But I have to pray for that. My wife has to yell at me and pray for me every day about those things because it's just hard for me. It's really hard for me. Matthew 14, I want to read this real quick. It's a little bit longer. We're wrapping up. Matthew 14, 25 through 31. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on a lake. When the disciples saw him walking in the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. This is the key part. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Isn't that amazing? But when he saw the wind, became afraid, he began to sink. Okay? So my thing is, what are you focused on? Peter was fine as long as he was focused on the Lord. And I got to tell myself that every day. What am I focused on? Focused on the Lord? Am I focused on my problems? All right? Serve. I ask myself this question every day also. Is my life as a Christ follower attractive to others? Or am I turning people off to Christ? All right? I mean, God's given me what he's given me. The least I can do is show other people what he's done in my life. It all comes down to this as we wrap up. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek him first. It doesn't say you get all this stuff, and by the way, maybe seek him if you feel like it. It says seek him first. All right? So as I look back, my identity, you know, it was all about me, those early years I told you about. But it's changed now. It's changed. It's all about him. I try to make him the Lord of my life as much as I possibly can. I know two things for sure. I have hope, and I have grace. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So I need that grace every day. Every day I need that. So what's Jesus done for you that maybe you recognize or you don't recognize? I ask you that question as we wrap up today. I won't attain perfection. People will continue to judge me. But I know I have Jesus. I know I have Jesus in my life. I know what he's done for me. He's just done tremendous things for me. I challenge this to you guys, just to make sure that you have included him in your life. Make him the Lord of your life. And he'll take you on just an amazing ride. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you listening. Let's pray. Let's wrap up with prayer real quick. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you just for the opportunity to talk. And I hope something that was said resonated with each and every person in here. Help us continue to make you the Lord of our life and center everything on you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.